Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12, verse number 12, this one verse of scripture, "For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." How many knows that you didn't make a mistake when you got in this thing? You know in whom you have believed. "And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Notice it didn't say he is able to keep everything, but it says he's able to keep that I have committed, which I have committed unto him against that day. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that is happening or is going to happen that God is not able to carry us through if we will commit our lives to him and our cares and burdens and whatever it is that we deal with in life. If we'll commit it to him, he's able to help us with it. Do you believe that? And so you may think this is an unusual subject to begin this service with tonight, or an unusual title, but just ride with me just a little bit. You know, that's what old preachers used to say. How many's going to ride with me? What they meant is how many's going to get on and not get off just when it gets a little bumpy, but you're going to stay with me and you're going to hear me out, and that you're going to stay on with the amens and the affirmation of faith. Amen. Praise God. It's so important that we be able to get engaged in what God is doing and not just simply sit on the sidelines and be a spectator in what's happening, because this is really important when the Word of God is going forth, that we connect with it, that we get plugged in with it. Praise the Lord. I want to plug into what God's doing. How many knows he's moving tonight? And if we'll get plugged into it, there's no telling what we can see happen. And I just want to preach the limitations of God. Don't fall out with me just yet over that title, because to some of you that might seem a little sacrilegious at first. But let's just ride with it just a little while. The limitations of God. Amen. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord and let's pray for the holy anointing of the Holy Ghost to be here on us tonight in this service. Jesus, we do need your strength, your touch, your help, your guidance, your anointing in this service this evening. I pray that you would bless this word of the hearts of every hearer that is in this place. Strengthen us through your word and help us through your word. Help us to be better when we leave here, and help us to respond appropriately to the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name, and would you clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really give him some praise. He's really deserving of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for standing in. You may be seated. Before I get into the essence of this message tonight, I want to say right here from the outset, and I want to say it as emphatically, and make as much of an impact in saying it as I possibly can. If there's anything that you underscore about this message tonight, I do want you to understand that we are serving a God of limitless power and limitless ability. I believe that there is absolutely no disease that my God cannot heal. There is no loss that he cannot recover. There is no yoke, according to the word of God, that he is anointing cannot destroy. There is no soul that he cannot save. You know, sometimes, and I've mentioned this in times past, we discriminate against certain souls, people, in other words, because we know them and we know how far and steeped in sin that they may be. And we say to ourselves, I don't know if God can save them. Not that we don't believe that God is able to save, but we just don't know if they're willing to allow God to save them, or that they may be too bound or too far gone for it to happen. But there is no soul that God did not shed his blood for through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no soul that he did not provide salvation for. And while I'm saying that, I want to state to you that there is no sin that he cannot forgive. And there is no heartache that he cannot help us to bear. And there is no family that he cannot put back together and restore. For my Bible says that he is able to do exceeding, everybody say exceeding, and above all, or abundantly above all, that we ask or think. And I've always considered that verse of Scripture because I know that I have a pretty vivid imagination of what I think God is able to do and what I am able to ask him for and imagine him able to do. But he goes beyond just what I'm able in my big thoughts to imagine him to do. And he says that your God is greater than that. Even more than what you imagine him being able to do. If you can imagine revival, he's able to give that much and more. If you can imagine healing, he's able to heal and do even more than that. If you can imagine him answering a certain prayer in your life that you think is a big deal, then he's able to do that and even answer some more prayers for you. Aren't you thankful for a God that is not, he's not confined by our ways of thinking about him or our logic or the box that sometimes we try to put him in, but he's a great big God that is able to move in great ways. Amen. And he is able to do things that will literally blow our mind. Praise the Lord. Above all, that we ask or think. And if that is not enough, Jesus made it very clear through the Word of God that all power, the Bible says, all power, he said, is in me. All power in heaven and earth. Not partial power, not a little bit of power, but all power in both heaven and in earth is in me. And then the Bible said in the epistles, it tells us that all power is of God. And the power that is ordained of God. Or the powers that be are ordained of God. We think of certain people and their power. We think of governmental power. We think of political power. We think of wealth and the power that it brings. We think of popularity and the power that it brings. But all of that is minuscule in comparison to the power of God. And then we think about even the enemy. And we feel like sometimes our enemy has such formidable power, such great power. But he said the powers that be are ordained of God. Even the devil's power, and I know that's hard for us to get our minds around, but it is ordained of God. Or he has all power, meaning that he has greater power than even what the devil in his limited power has. Amen. In other words, the enemy is on a leash. The enemy is allowed sometimes to badger us. The enemy is allowed sometimes to attack us and to tempt us and to wreak havoc in our life. But let me just say it this way. Sometimes God uses the enemy to drive you to a prayer room. Sometimes God uses the enemy to bring you to a place that you realize, hey, I need God. And you'll exercise your faith and not depend upon your humanity. So even the powers that be are ordained of God. God, amen, is using even the attacks and even the temptations and even the things that come against you that you feel are totally orchestrated by the enemy. He's using that in many ways to save our souls. Amen. Because left to ourselves, none of us can be saved. We don't have the ability to save ourselves, but we depend upon a God, and it's through our faith in Him. Without faith, the Scripture says, it is impossible to please God. So faith is not optional to any one of us, but we've got to have faith to even please or to begin to please God. But I believe that I am serving a God of limitless power. To every problem, Jesus has the solution. To every question, I really do believe that He has the answer. Somebody said, well, you don't know the things I've been asking Him and how complex it is and how big of a deal it is and how out of sorts my life seems. Can I tell you, to every question, He has a solution to the problem. Amen. However, there is limitations to what God can do. Oh yeah, I could feel people saying, what are you talking about? There is boundaries, self-imposed boundaries that God cannot cross. And I know it sounds strange to us for someone to say that we serve a God of limitless power and at the same time say that we serve a God whose abilities are limited. But that's not a contradictory statement. It seems like a contradiction to speak about a God that is almighty, yet who has boundaries that He may not cross. But it's true, and it's in the Word of God. Because as important as it is for us to understand the power of God and what God can do, I think it's just as important for us to understand what He will not do. Amen? What is it then that can set a limitation on God? What is it that we do that sets boundaries on God? That can prescribe a boundary and say to Him, you cannot pass beyond this point, or you cannot cross this line. What is it that is so powerful that it can limit an unlimited powerful God so that He would stop and say, in that particular situation, I cannot go any further. I cannot cross this line. This boundary that I have placed upon myself, I refuse to break. There are at least three categories of things that can be done to limit God. First of all, God is limited by His own nature. I think it's important for you to realize that God is limited by His own nature. The fact that He is God prescribes some boundaries that He cannot cross. First of all, we're serving a God that cannot fail. And that's a boundary that my God, that is self-imposed according to His Word, that He has prescribed upon Himself, that He cannot cross, amen, and that He cannot do. People can fail, institutions can fail, governments can fail, politicians can lie and they can fail, but God will still be God at the end of the day, and He cannot fail. We're serving a God that has never been defeated. He's never been outmaneuvered. He's never been outsmarted. He's never been caught unaware. He's never been surprised. Nobody caught Him off guard. This is why the Bible reminds us, if God be for us, then who can be against us? There's nothing that can stand against a God that cannot fail. If there's one thing God cannot do, you rest assured and have faith in the fact that He's a God that has put a boundary on Himself. I cannot fail. Oh, somebody ought to praise him for that. Somebody ought to thank him for that. Somebody ought to worship him for that right now. Come on, put your hands together and lift up your voice. I'm a little weary of people aggrandizing the devil as though he is an equal or even an opposite to God. Because if he is an opposite to God, then that means that he is an equal to God, and he is certainly no equal to God. He isn't as powerful in wickedness or in evil or sin as God is in goodness, mercy, grace, and righteousness or forgiveness. Hallelujah. Because all of those things trump everything that the devil has tried to yoke you down with and burden you down with. And I'm going to tell you, he tries to put sin on you. God's got something that can inoculate you and help you and give you power over sin and give you victory over sin. The blood is more powerful. It can cleanse you of, the Bible said, all sin. And then when he fills you with the Holy Ghost, you get something on the inside of you. And that's why the writer said, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got the power of God on the inside. Hallelujah. But one thing that proves that the devil is not an opposite or an equal to God, he's not even in the same arena, he's not at the same level as God, is that the devil failed. That's right. I'm in a perfect atmosphere. Everything just right. In the very presence of the Lord. Surrounded by angels and worship and glory. And right there, able to experience the glory and the presence of God 24/7. Now, you got to have some problems to backslide in an atmosphere like that. He still managed to fail. He still managed to backslide. He still managed to walk away and rebel against God. He failed. But God has never failed. The Bible said, like lightning, the devil fell to the earth. Amen. But I'm serving the one that has never failed, that has never come up short, that has never said anything that he wasn't able to come through with, that has never stood out, amen, and made a proclamation that he wasn't able to follow through with. He has never failed. He's never made a mistake. You may look at situations in your life and say, it doesn't seem like this is the will of God. It doesn't seem like this should be happening. And you in your finiteness may charge God in his infinity, but I'm just going to tell you that he's a God that cannot and will not ever fail his people. We fail him, but he doesn't fail us. People fail us, but God has never failed us. I want you to get that in your heart and mind tonight. I want you to get a revelation of just how powerful that is. God has never failed me. Praise the Lord. The second aspect of God's nature that limits him is that he cannot make a mistake. He sees the end from the beginning. Nothing sneaks up on him. As I've already said, nothing outmaneuvers him. God doesn't say, oh, I didn't see that coming. I wish I could go back and replay that. Or I wish I could hit reset. I wish I could go back and redo or try that again. No, God never makes a mistake in the first place. Man, there's certain things I've practiced and practiced and practiced, and I still make a mistake. Amen. There's some things that you try and try and try and try, and still, it doesn't matter how experienced you are at it. It doesn't matter how many years you've been involved in it and how much practice you got at it. You still make mistakes. Amen. On your job, there's certain things that you've done routinely, perhaps in some cases for years, but occasionally you still make mistakes and have to depend upon the mercy of the boss. Can I hear an amen? I've been preaching now full time for right at 25 years, and there's sometimes I walk out of this place and say, you know what? I'm not sure if I can do this. And it feels like sometimes that I'm preaching my first sermon because there's some aspects of this that you don't figure out. But you got to depend upon God. But never has God ever found himself in a similar situation. Never has God found himself like me and saying, it doesn't matter how many times I've done this, I still am prone to a few mistakes. And I know from the first time, amen, he never makes a mistake. You never have to doubt his judgment. You never have to doubt whether or not he knows what he's doing or if he's in control of the situation or if this may have caught, or did you see this, God? Or are you aware of this? Or can I let you in on something, God? Can I tell you about this? Or maybe you didn't consider this. Or maybe you weren't expecting them or that situation to take place. No, God never makes a mistake. He's far too wise to make a mistake. Matter of fact, that gives us, that bolsters our trust in God, and that ought to inspire us to be able to trust God with our lives, knowing that he never makes a mistake. Romans 8:28 says, we know, it actually says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that are the called according to his purpose. Some of us have looked at those verses of Scripture, or that particular verse of Scripture, and that is a very popular one in the Word of God. All things work. We encourage ourselves with that Scripture. We always inspire ourselves with that Scripture. We know that all things work together for good until we're the one that's in the problem. We like sharing that with somebody else, but we don't like applying it to our own lives a lot of times. I like to encourage my brother. Hey, you know, I know it seems like you're flat broke, busted, and disgusted, and it is like things is going wrong. And let me just remind you of a scripture that I read one time. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, no. We have to apply it to ourselves sometimes and realize it may not seem like it. He didn't say some things. He didn't say just the things that we think. He said all things. Amen. If I'm in the purpose of God, if I'm following his calling for my life, amen, and if I love him with all of my heart, everything's going to work out because God doesn't make a mistake. Everything's going to be okay because God doesn't make a mistake. He's a wise God, and he's in control. So it's not just some things. I can rejoice. Somebody said, why in the world could you come to church and lift your hands all you're going through? Why in the world could you run the aisles with everything you're facing? Why in the world could you leap for joy with everything that's going on in your life? You need to understand that scripture. It said all things work together for the good. So I'm going to go ahead and praise him because I know I can trust him. He doesn't make a mistake. It's going to work out. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. I'm just going to go ahead and leap. I'm just going to go ahead and shout. I'm just going to go ahead and praise him. I'm just going to go ahead and rejoice in him because all things work together. You know, life cannot be explained in snapshots. You know, sometimes you get real nostalgic. You go through your old photo albums. You get looking through there. See yourself sitting on your first bicycle. I seen a picture my mother sent me the other day. Had me sitting atop of one of them new Huffy bikes. These kids, they don't even know what Huffy is. Had man spoke tires, spoke wheels, knobby tires, blue fender wells, bright, shiny sprocket. And it had a black banana seat on it. That must be out of style. Man, it was nice. I couldn't touch the floor. It was by a Christmas tree. And And I went out there that morning, climbed up on it. I couldn't even touch the ground on either side. It was too big, really. It had some training wheels. Thank you, Jesus. I was sitting up there, big old smile on my face, big toothy grin, at least with the teeth I had. We moved just right after that over to a neighborhood, and those kids, they'd had bicycles since they was 1.5 years old. Man, they could ride them on tree limbs. They'd come by riding wheelies. Say, what are you doing with them training wheels on that bike? You got to get those training wheels off. I said, Dad, we got to get these. So I had him take one off, and I'd kind of ride the neighborhood like this. They still shame me. I said, take them off. You got to teach me how to ride this thing. So we got out in the yard. And I'd never been so more frustrated in all my life. I'd get to going, boy, and I really thought I was going good. And I looked back and he had his hand right on the seat. He was going right there behind me. That's some of you. You feel like you're really doing it, but you don't realize God's got a hold of you all along. God's taking care of you, not letting you fall. And so I finally out there, I said, take your hand off. You know, I was kind of being smart. I said, take your hand off. I can handle this. Went whoop. Fell in the grass, and man, all the kids are chuckling. They're riding their bicycle back and forth. Said, oh, Calhoun, he's down there. He's trying to learn how to ride his bicycle. And they was getting some free entertainment. And I hopped back up, and I was wailing up with tears and getting upset. And, but I'm looking through that now, all these years later. Dear Lord, how long has that been? That's been at least 37 years, maybe more like 38 years ago. And I think about that now. And all I can think about, man, going out there and seeing that big bike underneath the Christmas tree or beside the Christmas tree. And all I can think about is when I learned how to ride it and all the fun experiences I had on it. But I didn't remember that it wasn't all just like that. All I saw was the snapshot of the big smile on my face. And it took me back to that moment when I received that. And I forgot about all the skint knees. I forgot about times when pedaling down the hill, racing somebody and lost control and went careening off the road and fell and ate gravel for a good half of a block. Or the time that my friend Jeff Fritz was riding beside me on the bicycle, and I don't know what happened, but he went over the handlebars when we hit a pothole. And his chin was the first thing that met the ground. And he just dug up the pavement there, it looked like. And we had to take him to the hospital, and he got stitches on top of stitches. And then on top of them, he got some more stitches. And guess who got the blame for that? If y'all hadn't been driving those bicycles so fast and hadn't been racing them, yet wouldn't have happened. If you'd have stayed around the house, that wouldn't have happened. I said, yeah, and he'd still be laying out there on the pavement if I hadn't have picked him up and brought him and loaded him in the car and we went to the hospital. You can't get no appreciation. What am I saying? You can take snapshots and you can look through your life's photo album and you can say, man, that's a wonderful thing and that's a wonderful thing and that's a wonderful thing. And if you're not careful, you're not taking the whole collective experiences of life and putting them together. Take me back to the good old days. Take me back to this experience. There were some skint knees. There was some babies crying. I'm just joking. And there's some things that happen in life. There's things that occur in life that we don't get the whole scope of it. We have to take it all in consideration. You cannot read a book by just flipping through at page 100 and saying, I read two paragraphs and I think I got the gist of the book. Kind of reminds me of Brother J.H. Osborne. He was going up there to Canada, And he was going to preach a men's conference up there, and he's a tremendous preacher. And when he crossed the border, he was coming back and he was crossing the border, and the border patrol was kind of being a little fussy and said to him, "Well, what were you doing in Canada?" He said, "I was preaching a men's conference." "Oh, really?" He said, "Well, what did you preach?" He said, "Well, I preached about the power of the bloodline." "Well, preach it to me." He said, "You got to be kidding." He said, "Cars are behind me. It looks like we got a whole line of people piling up back there, and you're wanting me to preach." He said, "Yeah, I want to hear what you had to say." And acted like he was lying or something about it. And so he said, "Okay." And so he started about in on his introduction. He got through the introduction a little bit, and he jumped over there and hit his first point. By now, he's kind of feeling a little inspiration. He's getting loosened up. He said, "I'm getting up there outside the window. You know, I'm kind of propped up on my elbow, and I'm getting right up in his face, and the carotid arteries are popping out on my neck." And he said, "I'm going down the stretch to hit my next point." And he said, "I got the gist of it." He said, "Oh, no, you got me started." He said, "You ain't got the gist of anything." He said, "I got to finish this sermon." Well, that's the way it is sometimes with us. Amen. We think we got the gist of something, but all things work together for the good. You got to take it all and put it together, and to understand what God is doing, you got to take all of it. You can't just take part of it. You can't just take a bad experience and judge your life on that. You can't take one trial and say that's the summation of my life. You can't take one problem and say that's all there is to it. No, you got to put your faith in God, that He knows all things. Amen. It may be bad right now, but that don't mean it's going to stay bad. There's going to be some good things. There's going to be some more wonderful experiences. There's going to be some more victories. There's going to be some more overcoming. There's going to be some more healing. There's going to be some more deliverance. There's going to be some more prayer. Somebody ought to get on their feet right now and praise the Lord that all things work together. All things work together. You know, the devil, Satan, he's good at lifting up snapshots. That's what he does, isn't it? He'll lift up a snapshot and say, "Look at this. Man, things are bad, aren't they? Pretty rough. Pretty rough. Amen." I mean, I could take one snapshot out of my life when my face was burnt. My hair was singed almost down to the scalp. And I remember we were going to meet the California District Board. And that barber thought it was their responsibility to get every bit of that singed hair out. And so I was slick, man. And I mean, I had white walls going down both sides. My hair was, I couldn't do anything with it. It just kind of stuck out there, you know what I mean? And I went in there to meet the board, and they're thinking, "Man, this cat's a holiness cat right here. I'm telling you, this guy is clean as a whistle." He got it down. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. He got that part. Because he's got him a hair cut just for us. He didn't realize I'd been through the flames already. And the devil could hold that snapshot up of my life and say, "You know what? You should stop right here and just remember this is the end. This is when you thought about quitting. This is when you thought about giving up. I'm going to tell you every myriad of emotion. I went through it all. Everything that you could think of about quitting, giving up, doing something else, it went through my mind. But I realized, you know what, I could get discouraged selling shoes somewhere, or I may have a few disappointments, but I'm going to follow my dream. I'm going to do what God has called me to do." Hallelujah. I'm going to try to help somebody here tonight. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Can I get on my sermon from this morning and tell you, just because the mountain doesn't move when you pray for it to move doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan, or that God was caught off guard, or, "Oh, what are we going to do now? Or we'll have to go to plan B." No, God doesn't have any plan Bs. He just has one plan, because, amen, He never makes a mistake. You can believe, and you can trust, and you can put your faith in God and know that all things work together. Somebody say all things. I don't know why I can't seem to get off of that. All things work together for the good. It's hard for us to accept that. It's hard for us to receive that. It's hard for us. That's a hard saying for us to be able to really grasp and get a hold of, that all things truly work together for my good. Because we think there's a lot of things we'd have been better without that. I could think of that. That could have turned out better. That could have been better. That could have changed. But if you're loving God and you're called according to His purpose and you're trying to follow Him and you're walking in His will. Now, there's some things that happens to us as a result of us getting out of the will of God. There's some things that happens to us as a result of us making a wrong choice. Amen. You can't sow corn and expect to get green beans. Amen. God is not mocked, the Bible said. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. You can't reap something else and sow this over here and expect when harvest time comes to get something entirely different, whatever you sow. So what is my suggestion to you? My suggestion to you, if you've been sowing faithfulness, keep on sowing faithfulness. Just because you haven't reaped anything from that just yet, I'm just going to tell you it's not harvest time, because someday harvest time is coming, and when it does, it's going to pay off. I said it's going to pay off. All the prayers, all the faithfulness, everything that you've given and committed to God, it's going to pay off, because God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that will you also reap. Amen. If you sow worship, you can expect at some point the presence of God to come down. When you sow in prayer and you sow in tears and you carry that burden, you can expect at some point that heaven's going to meet you and bless you and answer those prayers and work in your life. Because whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Why don't you right now, everybody across this building, let's stand to our feet, lift up our hands and our voices to God. And let's give Him some praise right now. Come on, don't let Satan hold up a snapshot of some horrible thing that has happened and some horrible thing that has transpired and say, that's it. That's the summation of life. That's everything there is to it. You say, oh no, that's only one picture. That's only one moment. I'm not living for God just because of one mistake or one moment or one situation. Amen. I've overcome that. I've got that behind me. Matter of fact, that's beneath the blood of Jesus. I'm going on. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to keep believing. Oh, come on, somebody help me preach right now. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to keep believing God, because I know that God is able. That if I keep sowing, amen, I have the victory photo. I have the portrait of a life that God has blessed and that God has been good to me. You know, matter of fact, when the devil comes along, you know, the devil, he does carry a black book, and it's not the Bible. And he has got all the little things that he can bring up. And you notice when he brings them up, the Bible said he's the accuser of the brethren. He's pretty strategic when he brings up things. He knows better than to catch you on a Sunday night high and try to bring up something 15 years ago in your sinful past. He knows better than when you're shouting and rejoicing and you got the victory of God in your heart. He knows better than to try to bring up something where you failed and come short. But he waits. That's right. He waits because he's strategic. He waits till you're going through a low spot. And that's when he brings it out. I said, if that ain't bad, let me add a little insult to your injury. Let me just tell you. Let me remind you of a few things. You ain't ever been nothing but a failure. You ain't ever been anything but no good. You've never really been victorious. Look at this. And he'll bring up something and try to bring it into your present that happened 15, 20 years ago. Some mistake, some horrible failure, some place where you literally come up short, dropped the ball, fumbled, made a huge blunder. And he tries to bring it up. And he tries to show it to you. But you know, devil, turnabout is fair play where I came from. And you know, as apostolics, we do know something about a counterpunch. Oh, Trump ain't the only one that knows about the counterpunch. We apostolics know about the counterpunch. And if you hit us, we're going to hit back. And since we're bringing up the past, how about we bring up your past? I mean, you are 6 inches from the throne of grace. You were in the very presence of Almighty God. Let me get this right. You were in glory. You had angels encouraging you and surrounding you. You was the leader of heaven's choir. You could worship and pray and get a hold of God and have his attention anytime you wanted to. You didn't have to live by faith. You didn't have to walk through any bad atmosphere or trial. You was in a perfect environment. You talk about utopia. You had it made, and you couldn't make it in heaven. Why are you worried about me and the struggles that I got on earth? If you couldn't make it in heaven, you sure couldn't make it where I'm at. So why are you accusing me? And why are you condemning me? And why are you bringing up the failures of my life? You're the greatest failure that ever lived. I said, you're the greatest failure that ever lived. So I'm through listening to your lies. I'm through listening to your deceit. I'm through listening to your accusations. I'm through listening to your condemnation. Now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. If I got the Holy Ghost, I got power over all that stuff. If I got the Holy Ghost, I got a new mind. I got a new heart. There's been a transformation that has taken place in me. Come on, somebody ought to rejoice. Somebody ought to make your way to this altar tonight and say, I'm going to rejoice and believe God and trust God for who he is and the power he possesses, because I know that the devil has no authority. He has no claim to my soul. He is not able to bring accusation against me, because he's the ultimate failure of all time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, don't come down here like you lost your best friend. Don't come down here, amen, and mumble your normal Sunday night stuff. Come down here and get some victory. Come down here and get a hold of it tonight. Come down here and shake that spirit of condemnation off of yourself. Come down here and get those chains of bondage off of yourself. Come down here and get some victory in your heart tonight.